What are you doing? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
Someone's got it in for me. They cut it out quick, but when they will, I can only guess.
It's been almost 2 weeks since Trump's attorney general released a memo in special counsel Robert Mueller's final report. The memo said Mueller had not established a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia, but it also said Mueller had not exonerated Trump of obstruction of justice. So it was a mixed bag. But Trump has declared himself victorious and even threatened last week to keep the full report hidden from the public.
The president, the same president who over the past week has said he's for the full release of the report, wrote this. The problem is, no matter what the radical left Democrats get, no matter what we give them, it will never be enough. Just watch. They will harass and complain and resist the theme of their movement. So maybe we should just take our victory and say no. We've got a country to run.
Okay, first of all, you don't have a country to run because you don't run it. You outsource it to your collection of weirdos while you go golfing with Kid Rock. In fact, despite proclaiming falsely that he's been exonerated, some officials even within the White House are anxious that the president is getting ahead of himself before the full report comes out. One senior White House official said, "There will be plenty of unfavorable things about the president in the full report, which we think will eventually come out. So let's not go overboard saying there's no wrongdoing. Let's move on." Yeah, of course there will be damning things in the report, because we know publicly is damning. Mueller's report could literally just be a bunch of news articles about Trump stapled together with a cover sheet that says, "Remember this stuff?" And while Trump himself wants to declare victory and move on, he also seems stuck on his obsession with how Mueller's investigation got started. The answer to that is simple. The FBI was investigating his ties to Russia, and then he fired the guy in charge of that investigation. And because his Republican attorney general had recused himself, his Republican deputy attorney general appointed Robert Mueller. But Trump still wants someone to look into what he called, or what he tried to call, the origins of the report. But he had some trouble saying the word.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation, the beginnings of that investigation. You look at the origin of the investigation. The Mueller report, I wish, covered the oranges, how it started.
Yeah. Hey, Mom. Mom, I'm worried about Grandpa. Yeah. Yeah, oranges. Why does he keep saying oranges? Is he hungry, or is that always how he says it? Did you see Captain Marvel? It's pretty good for an oranges story. So it's been almost 2 weeks since Mueller's report was delivered, and in that time, the question on everyone's mind has been, how would Trump respond? Would this strengthen him politically? What message would he focus on? And now we have the answer. As we learned at a rally last week, and again at a speech last night, Trump has decided to spend the rest of his presidency doing impressions of windmills.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills. Hillary wanted to put up wind. If you have a windmill anywhere near your house, congratulations. Your house just went down 75% in value. And they say the noise causes cancer. You tell me that one, okay?
So many questions. First, the idea that noise from windmills causes cancer is insane, but second, why does his impression keep changing? You know, cats, they're either like meow or woof, 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 woof.
Wind power may be an answer to global warming, but at what cost? It's all around us. But what do we really know about this invisible gas that abducts girls from Kansas? Wind ruins our parades, and it attacks our president. Wind, it blows.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Windmills, they're not just a challenging obstacle on the putt-putt course. No, they're also Trump's arch enemy. They're part of his origin story. You know, like a superhero whose parents were killed by a very slowly moving fan. And Trump doesn't just hate windmills like a Jehovah's Witness. No, he's going door to door to try and get everyone else to hate them too. And he's got all kinds of reasons, starting with the danger that they pose to America's most precious resource, television.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills. And if it doesn't blow, you can forget about television for that night. Darling, I want to watch television. I'm sorry. The wind isn't blowing. I know a lot about wind.
I know a lot. Like, we all know the same amount about wind. What do you need to know about wind? You can use it to fly a kite. Sometimes it screws up your umbrella. And if it goes in a circle, it's a tornado. That's it. We're done. Also, I like that instead of talking about the effects of a power outage on things like hospitals or airports, the worst case scenario Trump could think of was no TV. Like, TV is so important to Trump, he probably listed as his emergency contact. If anything happens to me, turn to Channel 7, please. And also, does Trump not know what a battery is? Huh? Because you realize a wind turbine doesn't plug directly into your TV, okay? He makes it seem like the faster the windmill goes, the faster your TV slows on, you know? It's like the shows on TV playing faster and faster on a windy day. It's just like on the news today, the people of the day, bazinga. Oh, and according to Trump, the danger windmills pose to television is nothing compared to what it does to nature's airplanes, the birds.
The wind kills all your birds. All your birds killed.
They kill so many birds. You look underneath some of those windmills, it's like a killing field of birds.
In California, if you kill a bald eagle, they put you in jail for 5 years. And yet the windmills knock them out like flies. It's crazy.
What about the thousands of birds they're killing? Try going to the bottom of a windmill someday. It's not a pretty picture.
how many windmills does this guy visit? And why is he always going to the base of them? Driver, stop the car. I want to count the dead bird. Now, to be fair to Trump, right? Windmills do kill birds, right? And some people are legitimately concerned about it. But I don't think Donald Trump is one of those people. Like, Trump doesn't really care about the welfare of birds. In fact, to me, it looks like he's on a mission to wipe out the entire species on his own. Let's say you don't care about TV or birds or getting fake cancer. You may want to pay attention to this, because windmills are also a threat to America's national security.
We love clean, beautiful West Virginia coal. We love it. Right. And you know, that's indestructible stuff. In times of war, in times of conflict, you can blow up those windmills, they fall down real quick.
You can blow up the windmills, you know, the windmills. Boom, boom, boom. Bing, that's the end of that windmill.
Don't build windmills because they can be blown up during war. Yeah, so can everything else. Every power source can be blown up during a war. Yeah, in fact, a blown-up windmill probably has the least fallout. With oil, you have spills. With nuclear power, you have radiation. If you bomb a windmill, what's the worst that happens, huh? It's just gonna fall on a pile of dead birds. That's it. So clearly, Donald Quixote over here is in a war with windmills. The question is, why? Well, we did some digging, and it turns out the beef started almost a decade ago.
Trump is an outspoken critic of wind farms and opposes a planned development of turbines just offshore from his golf course in northeast Scotland. Trump told lawmakers he supports other forms of green energy, but wind turbines are ugly, noisy, and dangerous.
Wind turbines made in China are going to be the destruction and the almost a total destruction of your tourism industry.
They want to build thousands of windmills in the waters that surround the most beautiful shoreline probably anywhere in the world. It has to be stopped. Scotland has a group of leaders, one in particular, who just is foistering them on the people, and it's really, really sad.
Of course, it all makes sense now. It was never really about birds or television. It was always about golf. Yeah, and by the way, Trump is wrong on two counts. Experts say that windmills near a golf course don't destroy tourism, and experts also say that foistering is not a word. But this is great news. This is great news. We understand it, right? He hates the windmills because they block his view of his golf course. But now we understand what Trump's motivating force is, right? Golf courses. That's the one thing he will do anything to protect. And now that we know this, we can use it to solve the world's problems. Like Puerto Rico. If you want Trump to stop blocking your hurricane funding, just turn your island into a giant golf club, and the money will come flying in like nyo, nyo, nyo.
on cancer-causing windmills was only the beginning. He also told the Republicans in attendance they should be more careful about voter fraud, which is non-existent. In fact, the most prominent case of election fraud in 2018 was committed by a Republican in North Carolina, but Trump kept insisting that something was going on.
We've got to watch those vote tallies. You know, I keep hearing about the election and the various counting measures that they have. There were a lot of close elections that were, they seemed to every single one of them went Democrat. If it was close, they say the Democrat, well, there's something going on, fella. You got to, hey, you got to be a little bit more paranoid than you are, okay?
More paranoid? You already think windmills are causing cancer. The only way you could be more paranoid is if you thought the windmills were committing voter fraud.
The windmills, they're wearing disguises and they're voting, folks. Oh, they're voting. I saw one in a polling booth, big hat, mustache.
Trump also expressed concern in that same speech that his remarks would get out to the press. Trump was talking about something incomprehensible that's honestly not even worth explaining. The important part is the end of the clip.
They put names in, you pick a name. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to announce so-and-so. I don't want to use names because I'll get in trouble because it's always somebody's going to leak this whole damn speech to the media.
Leak it to the media? You're on TV. Do you not see the cameras? Do you not see the cameras? I can't believe I have to say, you should be more paranoid. You're the president of the United States, and you're on television. We can all see you. You're like a guy live streaming himself on Facebook, screaming, I'm being watched. I mean, I'm worried somebody's gonna leak this and he's gonna see it. In fact, Trump was so afraid to use names that when he went after Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who proposed the Green New Deal, he referred to her by her previous job instead of her current one.
The Green New Deal, done by a young bartender, 29 years old. A young bartender.
All right, first of all, she's a member of Congress and her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We call you Mr. President, not crazy windmill cancer guy.
There's been a huge spike in illegal immigration since Trump took office, and he looks like an idiot. So, he's mad. He's hopping mad. During a recent meeting about immigration with top officials, Trump was ranting and raving, saying border security was his issue. Sir, don't sell yourself short. You have tons of issues. Commitment, trust, daddy. So Trump is making changes now, okay? A lot of them.
President Trump continued his streak by firing the head of the Secret Service. Yeah. Plus, get this, to add actual insult to injury, it also came out that Trump has secretly been calling this guy Dumbo because of his giant ears. Yeah. Which you gotta admit is super gangster, right? I mean, for two reasons. One, this is the person protecting your life. And secondly, normally the Secret Service has code names for the president, but this is a president who has code names for his Secret Service. But that wasn't even the most prominent firing of the past 24 hours, because the news rocking the headlines has been this.
Overnight, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen forced out of the administration. Tensions between Nielsen and President Trump have been simmering for months, but reached a boiling point after the president's furious response to the recent surge in migrant crossings at the southern border. Just hours after a face-to-face meeting with the president on Sunday, Nielsen submitted her resignation.
Oh, well, look at that.
Kirstjen Nielsen, the woman responsible for Trump's border enforcement, has been deported out of the White House.
And there are reports that he'll soon fire the DHS Undersecretary for Management, the DHS General Counsel, and the head of immigration. It is going to be tough to find people to fill those positions. If only there was a group of folks willing to do jobs Americans don't want to do. But this afternoon, at an Oval Office photo op with the president of Egypt, Trump denied he's doing the things that he's already started doing.
Jeff, you seem to be cleaning house at DHS. What would you like to achieve with the new leadership?
Well, I never said I'm cleaning house. I don't know who came up with that.
I'm not cleaning house. No, I am bulldozing the house straight into the Potomac, okay?
Then the meeting was over. Until Trump took it into overtime.
Obama separated the children, by the way. Just so you understand, President Obama separated the children. Those cages that were shown, I think they were very inappropriate. They were built by President Obama's administration, not by Trump. I'm the one that stopped it. President Obama had child separation. President Obama separated children. They had child separation. I was the one that changed it.
No, you didn't. Obama didn't have a family separation policy. Remember, it was announced as a change of policy by Jeff Sessions. He called it zero tolerance, as in your feelings toward Mexicans. It was the brainchild of Stephen Miller and John Kelly. You told Kirstjen Nielsen to implement it, and now she'll be scraping that hot black tar off her soul for the rest of eternity. It didn't stop people from coming. It was a monstrous act of cruelty and ruled unconstitutional by a federal judge, but for some reason, you are now pushing to reinstate broader family separation policies, and today you publicly defended it in the same meeting where you claimed it was all Obama's fault?
I'll tell you something. Once you don't have it, that's why you see many more people coming. They're coming like it's a picnic, because let's go to Disneyland.
True, true. No, you hear that all the time with these migrant families. My kids love not being terrorized by a narco syndicate, but my favorite part has got to be the teacups.
But the crazy thing is that even though people on the left consider her cruel and inhumane, President Trump thought she was too soft.
A person close to Nielsen says she's been on thin ice with the administration, often clashing with President Trump, who has accused her of not doing enough to stem the tide of undocumented immigrants.
She was always in a tough position, seen as too tough on immigration on Capitol Hill, not tough enough here at the White House.
Not tough enough? Yo, this White House is weird, man. How are you gonna get rid of the kids in cages woman for being too nice? And here's the thing, it was no secret to Secretary Nielsen that Trump wanted her to be tougher on migrants, right? He made that very clear to her and everyone else within shouting distance.
For months, President Trump has been openly berating Secretary Nielsen at cabinet meetings, pushing her to take more and more drastic measures to stop the flow of migrants at the southern border.
According to the New York Times, the president called Ms. Nielsen at home early in the mornings to demand that she take action to stop migrants from entering the country, including doing things that were clearly illegal, such as blocking all migrants from seeking asylum.
Wow. Trump would call her early in the morning just to yell about the border? You know how horrible that must have been? Think about it. We're all traumatized by Trump's tweets at 5 a.m. Now imagine if the tweets came into your bedroom every morning and were like, hey, caravans of rapists, weak Democrats, love crime, and by the way, Kofifi. But that's right. Trump wanted Nielsen to block all migrants from claiming asylum, which, by the way, is against U.S. law. And even though people have said the United States needs to provide refuge to people who are fleeing poverty and crime, Trump has made it clear that he doesn't believe their stories at all.
The asylum program is a scam. Some of the roughest people you've ever seen. People that look like they should be fighting for the UFC. Give him asylum. He's afraid. He's afraid. We don't love the fact that he's got tattoos on his face. That's not a good sign.
Okay, look, I'll be honest. I get where Trump is coming from. If I see someone with tattoos on their face, I get uncomfortable because I know they're gonna try and sell me their mixtape, you know? Yeah, they'll say it's free, but then they look at me funny when I start walking away, and then I'm like, should I have taken this? I've made a horrible mistake. Anyway, look, the point is, Trump is clearly ignoring all the women and children who are claiming asylum. He's obsessed with the pictures of the guys who look to him like UFC fighters, which also might explain why he wants everyone in cages. He thinks it's their natural habitat. And this shouldn't be surprising to us, because here's the thing about Donald Trump that you have to understand. To him, it's all about how people look. If you look like a big tough guy, you can't be an asylum seeker in his mind. He wants people who look how he expects them to look, which is why he gets so excited when he meets someone in the real world who looks like a character from the movies.
These are central casting. If I'm doing a movie, I pick you, General Mattis.
NRCC chair, Tom Emmer. This guy's like central casting. You couldn't pick a better guy in Hollywood. There's no actor.
You talk central casting, these guys, you couldn't, I mean, it's incredible. They had a master sergeant there. I could take him right now, bring him to Hollywood, make a military movie, and he's the star of the movie. That happened once before, you know.
Central casting, you can't cast
him.
What do you have? You don't have anybody in Hollywood that looks like these guys.
He's got 10 people standing behind him. Everyone is central casting. Central casting. Glasses, pad, boom.
I was the perfect person. I was, like, central casting.
Really? You were central casting as president? I mean, I get as president in a Sharknado movie, maybe, yes. I mean, we've got to stop these sharks, folks. I get that. But you see, it's really simple. And if anything, this is a great lesson for the migrants, because it's not your story or your life that President Trump cares about. It's just how you look. Here's my advice. When you show up to the border, you just need to look like the people Trump wants to see in America. So guys, grab an oversized suit, get a long red tie, and while you're at it, throw a tumbleweed up there as a wig. Yeah. Once Trump sees a million hims trying to get into America, forget a wall. He's gonna build a ramp straight into the US. It's me! Let me in!
Thanks this week for the
song
from
Bob Dylan,
The
Grateful
Dead,
and Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Rudy Giuliani, Seth Myers,
the
Trevor Noah,
and
Stephen Colbert.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.